This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And it's Tuesday, which means Real Estate Insights.
I like it.
Yes, and joining us in the studio today, as always, Amy McLeod, the McLeod Group, Keller Williams. And then for the first time joining us today, Samantha Reddick-Smith, who is sitting in for Elizabeth from the Success Mortgage team. Welcome to you both. Good to see you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
How's it going? How you doing? How's your week going?
The week is going awesome.
It's only Tuesday, so.
I know, but I mean, it's beautiful Oregon. You know, the sun's out and it's a perfect day.
I love it, which doesn't happen all that often. No. I don't know the number of days we get sunrise, but it's not a lot.
Yeah, we cherish them.
I know. You got to love it. Yeah, because it's otherwise 6 months of like gray rain, which I don't mind, but yeah, it gets a little old.
Yeah.
So it is a Real Estate Insights. We're going to start off with Samantha. First of all, welcome, Samantha. It's great to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
So let's start out a little bit with we always kind of catch up from where we were last time. So what's going on with the rates and everything happening in the mortgage world?
Yeah, so rates went up a little bit. Today, FHA and VA are sitting at about 6.25%.
Okay.
And conventional closer to about 6.5%. But there are multiple factors also that go into your interest rate, things like property type, your credit score, other elements. So that's just making assumptions on like 700 credit score with such a down payment.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, but around, about the sixes here or there is what we're looking at, right?
Is that pretty steady? It's kind of staying pretty steady, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't say that.
No. Okay. Okay.
Like a month ago, we were for VA, FHA, we were down around 6.01, 6.04.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have no crystal ball, and what we are, there's unpredictability in with the economy and inflation. Mm-hmm. So there's no guarantee right now that those rates are going to be going down even in, I mean, to get it into the higher 5% range, really historically, and especially after what we saw with high 7% interest rates. It's not a bad deal. And I always, when talking to people, I talk to them more about the payment and if they can afford that and their monthly budget, rather than focusing so much on the interest rate. It's how much is this mortgage payment going to be?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of a...
Yeah. And I think people, we have got to get out of our system the threes and the fours. They're gone.
Yeah.
We don't know when we're going to see the fives. And right now, like just yesterday, Trump blockaded the Iran ports again in the Strait of Hormuz. So we were down in the low 70s for a barrel of low sevens
for oil. Yeah,
for oil. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to, I think this morning it was at $83 a gallon
or a barrel. There's volatility there.
Volatility, which could affect inflation into the fall and winter, and that's what we're hearing. And when inflation goes up, like we've talked about before, so do interest rates. That's the mechanism that the Fed uses to tamp down inflation. So the moral of the story is. The market is what the market is. Buy in the market that you know. And when interest rates go down, you can refinance. But sitting around waiting is not your best strategy right now.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said, Samantha, too. You want to look at the payment, really, because that's the bottom line, that you have maybe a little bit of wiggle room and it'll add. I mean, we've talked about it even, too, that it doesn't add necessarily that much to your payment. So to keep that in perspective.
Exactly. Yeah. I think people get scared, and seeing interest rates in the 2%, 3%, like Amy mentioned, we aren't probably not going to see them again. But if we do, you can refinance and get your payment lower. So as long as you can afford that monthly payment, then great. If it goes down, then you just call your loan officer and take advantage of it. But for now, it's a great time to buy. Better time for buyers and mm-hmm. more of a balanced market. I think mm-hmm. Amy can definitely speak on this. So.
Yeah. So you got people getting ready to go. A lot of people, we've talked about inflation, the economy, people are kind of struggling. You know, you're looking at how much do I have to put down on this place? What kind of assistance programs do you guys have for with down payments?
Yeah. So we have some amazing programs, multiple options. It can depend on credit score for which program you would qualify for, but it's based on FHA rules. So it's not super, it's pretty flexible. You know, and so the way that it works is your down payment is essentially, it's a second loan. So it's not a grant. It's not something that you're just, you never have to pay back. But that payment is factored into your mortgage payment. So you're not paying it separately. And it's a 10-year loan to pay it off. So after 10 years, that monthly payment drops off. Yes. So I've done a lot of them for first-time homebuyers. People right now with the economy they'll have great credit and they have the income, but it's just mm-hmm. hard to get in a kind of a paycheck-to-paycheck situation to save up $10,000, $15,000. So it's been great in getting multiple families into homes, and their biggest concern wasn't that, oh, I have an additional $150 for this down payment. It's, oh my gosh, I can actually get into a home. I can afford this. This payment is in my budget. And so it's been really awesome to see people have that kind of happy surprise.
And it sounds like a better option than going, hey, I don't even know if you can, no money down.
It depends. VA has the option of no money down, and USDA has the option of no money down. USDA has some, they have a box you have to fit in when it comes to your debt to income ratio, and it's also where the property is located. It needs to be in an eligible rural, quote unquote, rural area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So those are the zero down options, which are great, but they're a little bit more limited than, say, an FHA loan is accessible to more borrowers. So and the down payment assistance loans are essentially an FHA loan, just with that extra down payment added on.
And for a shorter term, obviously not a 30-year. You're saying it's a 10-year, so that drops off. Well, but it's getting people into homes.
Well, and we talk a lot about stabilizing that payment. I wish we could get people to start thinking more in my payment rather than an interest rate number.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't control that interest rate number, you know, aside from some buy downs and a few other things. But it's the payment. And when you're literally talking a home, you're talking about payments. And I'm thinking about my adult age daughter who's, you know, just recently moved into her first apartment and this and that, and they've got a great price on this first apartment. But at the same time, you kind of know deep down, especially in Oregon, each and every year that payment's going to go up a little bit and up a little bit and up a little bit until they're paying way more than they should be for a small apartment in comparison to if they can kind of hoard some money today and be able to, you know, look at buying in a year or two before that rate and stabilizing their payment. I think that's really, really important.
Absolutely. I completely agree. The rental market is, you're consistently seeing your rent go up yearly. If you know it. So I've heard people say they pay $2,500 a month for rent in an apartment. So, I mean, that's a mortgage.
That's a mortgage payment. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then with these programs to assist people getting in, I think if the numbers line up, I mean, to really go for it. Let's go ahead and take our first break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about home prices. Again, it's Real Estate Insights Tuesday, and you are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
All righty. We are talking all things real estate today with Amy McLeod and Samantha Reddick Smith. So, Amy, talk to us a little bit about home prices. I'm kind of seeing, you know, price drops, which we've talked about. You know, things are increasing, but what's the lay of the land in that realm?
Well, that's a question we're hearing almost every day. It's, are home prices finally going to come down? And the answer is yes and no. So the latest mid-year housing forecast from Realtor.com says home prices are still expected to increase this year, but only about 1.2% nationally. And here in the local area, we're right on pace with what they're saying. The earlier predictions were 2%. So you can see it's a fairly significant shift. Now, that may not sound like much, but it's actually significant because for the last several years here, this is our fourth year where we've seen, you know, that kind of appreciation on the heels of what was rapid appreciation, during the unicorn years. And so we're moving into something much healthier, a more balanced market. And one of the reasons that prices are cooling is simple. Buyers finally have more choices, and inventory continues to improve across much of the country, even though there aren't as many new listings coming on the market as economists originally expected. For example, in West Salem, we now have 6 months worth of inventory.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's the first section of town. There are still more homes available than we've seen in recent years, and more inventory means less competition for buyers. But you're a seller, you're in that beauty contest we've talked about. Fewer bidding wars, and sellers have to price their homes more realistically and present them more cleaned up.
I like your emphasis on that.
That's actually good news for everyone. Healthy markets aren't built on runway appreciation. They're built on buyers and sellers finding common ground. So another piece of encouraging news is affordability. Mortgage rates are expected to average around 6.3. We've bumped up here to 6.5. And while that's certainly higher than the ultra low rates we had a few years ago, they're slightly better than last year's average. And combined with slower home appreciation and wages that are continuing to rise, economists believe the average monthly mortgage payment could actually decline slightly compared to last year. And that's a step in the right direction. So here's something that most people don't think about. Inflation is expected to run around 3.4% this year, while home prices are only expected to rise about 1.2%. So what that means is that in real purchasing power, housing is actually becoming a little more affordable relative to everything else that we're buying. That's good news because it's a big ticket item. Now, we're not talking about dramatic discounts. We're talking about a market finally taking a breath. So before buyers start celebrating too much, there's still one important challenge, and that is we still have our housing shortage. The country's estimated to be roughly short 4 million homes, and builders are actually slowing down new construction.
Because
higher interest rates have softened buyer demand in many parts of the country. Especially, guess where? The South and the West. So that means we still aren't building enough homes to completely satisfy long-term demand. So while prices may grow more slowly, don't expect values to suddenly collapse. The supply simply isn't there for prices to collapse.
Okay.
So what does this mean for sellers? It means that pricing strategy matters more today than it has in several years. And gone are the days of putting any price on a home and expecting multiple offers over the weekend. We have got to get over.
That's 6 years ago.
Well, we ended in March of 2023 is when it ended. We started in about 2018.
So
It's over. Today's successful sellers are pricing correctly, even aggressively. Right now, looking at probably interest rates are going to climb in the fall and early winter. That's what several economists are talking about. If you're a seller, consider pricing aggressively.
So unpack that a little bit, though. Does that mean maybe a little bit lower than you think to try to spur interest? And what does that mean?
Yeah, I've got one I just did yesterday. The market analysis looks like somewhere between 525 and 535. Pricing is not an exact science. It's an art.
Right.
Okay. But when I'm looking at 15 houses in the same price point in Kaiser, I would suggest that maybe you consider at least 525, maybe 515. Mm. So that you are the one that gets picked, or maybe we could get a bidding war and get it bid up some. And yeah. People always worry about, oh, well, if I do it at, you know, lower than the low end, then they're going to, you know, offer me 505. Well, no is a part of negotiations.
Yes.
You know, so we can't forget that. Today's successful sellers are pricing correctly from the beginning. And interestingly, Realtor.com says that although asking prices have become more realistic, there are actually fewer price reductions this year than last year because sellers are entering the market with more reasonable expectations.
Okay.
So that's leading to smoother negotiations and more successful closings. However, for buyers, this is probably the best environment we've seen in quite some time. You know, I've been telling you, I'm a buyer right now. Mm-hmm. And yep, I don't like that interest crept up almost a quarter point on me. But I'm going back down to Arizona this weekend, and I'm going to buy a house because I have 70 choices.
70?
70.
Wow.
So there's more inventory. There's less competition. You have sellers who are should be being coached to be more willing to negotiate. We got a little bit of a challenge there with some of the newer agents. You often have opportunities for closing cost assistance. So, you know, you pair this up with Samantha's program of down payment assistance.
Yeah.
You almost have the equivalent of VA benefits. No down, no closing costs.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So you can also do interest rate buy downs, and that simply weren't available a couple of years ago. So I know for myself, I'm looking at a 3-2-1 buy down. Mm-hmm. It'll cost the seller 3% of their purchase price. And I get in at a lower rate, and I'll see. We'll tinker around. The worst it's ever going to be is for me is 6.25%.
Yeah.
So I can tinker around for a couple of years. So what this all means is that waiting is probably not your best strategy. We talked about last time that buy in the market that you're in, buy and sell in the market you're in, not in the one you're fantasizing about. If interest rates eventually come down meaningfully, we'll see more buyers rush back into the market. And then that increased demand could put upward pressure on prices that completely erases your interest benefit.
Yeah.
When I was looking at the quarter point change, it changed my payment by $60 a month.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But $60 a month is a $10,000 price increase in a property.
Mm-hmm.
So if it goes up $15,000, I just lost money. So sometimes buying before everyone else jumps back in is actually the better long-term move. Bottom line, the housing market isn't going to crash. Y'all been waiting for that for, you know, 3 years. It's normalizing. 6.5% interest, as much as we don't like it, is the 30-year average. And it's healthy for buyers. It's healthy for sellers. And frankly, it's healthy for the entire real estate industry. So if you're thinking about buying or selling, this is no longer a market where you can rely on headlines or what happened 3 years ago. It's a market where good advice, realistic pricing, and thoughtful planning matter more than ever. And that's why it's so important to work with someone on our team who has all of those traits and who understand what's going on in the local market and not just what's making national news.
Yeah. You mean I shouldn't pay attention to YouTube influencers who are telling me it's crash is imminent?
No, no. You got to remember why these people say the things they say, because they get paid for clicks and eyeballs. But, you know, we don't do any of that. We want to help our clients here in town. And I know the Smith team does too. So they're always very up on what's going on.
I remember we had talked, because you're talking about buying down, or you can refinance. We're in a number of mortgage institutions where you kind of, you'd get in there, and then it's like, if within a certain period of time it drops, you can do a free refi. Is that still a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, there are a number of mortgage institutions. I believe Elizabeth has this program where if you refinance in the first year, then your lender.
But you're talking, it would have to be a pretty significant drop. Like, what would be one where it would be like, yeah, that's probably worth doing that, Elizabeth. I remember Samantha. What's the rate?
At least 0.5%.
At least 0.5%.
At least. That's probably.
Well, like Amy said, it going up 0.25% is going to cost her $60. And I, you know, to me, I'm sitting there going, that means you got to give up your $2 cup of 7-Eleven coffee every day.
Yeah.
7-Eleven coffee.
Yeah, so half
more
a
like Starbucks.
Well, no, that's $2 a day. $60, 30 days, that's $2
a
day.
Stop it with the math. Come on.
So a half a point would be $120. And what you do is you calculate out $120, that's $1,400 in a year.
Yeah.
What are your closing costs? You divide the closing cost by $1,400 a year in this case. And if it's 3 years, you know, that it takes you to recover your closing costs, are you going to live in the house longer than 3 years? Because there should be a net benefit.
Yeah. Right. And then if like you were saying, Samantha, that you're really kind of focusing on what the payment is, if you've got a payment that you can afford comfortably at that point, I mean, you may not need to worry about it, but you put those metrics in. I'm seeing something too. And I know we're coming up against the bottom of the hour that people are staying in their homes a lot longer now too. So that probably is reasonable and feasible.
Yes. It used to be 4 years. Now we're up to 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Which is better.
Yeah, it is better. I mean, I think I mentioned I had a coworker would sell and buy like once every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Think, okay, hon, you're like,
that's a lot of closing costs to pay.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. I know. And she would make money every time, but I don't know whether the market is doing that anymore.
We're not in that market anymore.
I was going to say, I doubt she's still doing that.
Yeah.
I doubt she is. Okay. We are coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to come back on the other side. And I'm seeing a lot of this, that the housing market's finding its balance again.
Indeed.
Balance is good. It's been so chaotic. I'm down for a little calm, boring balance.
I think we are too.
Right?
For sure. So
again, we're talking Real Estate Insights with Amy McLeod and Samantha Reddick Smith. Amy is with the McLeod Group, Keller Williams, and Samantha is with Success Mortgage. All right, I'm hearing that bottom of the hour music coming up, which means we are going to take that hard break. We will see you on the other side. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We're talking Real Estate Insights today. So before we took our break, we were talking about kind of like, can we take a breath? Is it kind of balanced? Is it going to be calm? Boring.
Oh, I wish. And Denise, if I get on my soapbox, you can pull me back. One of the biggest misconceptions I hear today is that home prices went up because builders got greedy or sellers suddenly decided to overcharge everyone.
Oh, please.
Yeah, the truth is that's not what happened. If you go back to 2020, even before that, we experienced something the housing market has never really seen before. And that was the government tinkering. So mortgage rates dropped to unprecedented lows.
Yeah.
They injected trillions of dollars into the economy. Millions of people began working from home. And suddenly someone earning a Seattle, Portland, or San Francisco salary could move somewhere else less expensive without changing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the housing demand exploded almost overnight. And here's the problem. Builders simply couldn't build homes fast enough to keep up in the locations where people were flocking to.
Yeah.
And researchers estimate that home construction would have needed to increase, wait for this, roughly 300% just to satisfy the surge in demand during the pandemic.
Wow.
And I mean, if you think about it, the pandemic was also when like our millennials were coming of age, home buying age.
Mm-hmm.
So that was never going to happen. 300% increase was never going to happen. You can't, and it's not just whether they even wanted to, you can't instantly create labor, develop land, secure permits, and build neighborhoods in a matter of months. So what happens when demand skyrockets, but the number of homes doesn't? Prices go up.
Mm-hmm.
And they went up, like 1 year here, it went up 20%.
Yeah.
She had a $400,000 house. Now it's 500.
Yep.
So it's basic economics. I wish our politicians were required to take an economics course or two.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Along with a psychology course. Nationally, home prices climbed about 43% between the spring of 2020 and the summer of 2022.
Wow.
And that wasn't because sellers suddenly became greedy. It wasn't because builders were taking advantage of people. or realtors. Frankly, we get blamed for it too. Mm-hmm. It happened because millions of buyers were competing for a limited number of homes. And here in the Northwest, we felt that just as much. So inventory disappeared almost overnight. It was bought up.
Yeah.
And homes that used to take weeks to sell suddenly sold in days. Multiple mm-hmm. offers were the norm. Inspections were waived. Buyers mm-hmm. routinely paid over asking price. So we still have that scar tissue, I call it, where mm-hmm.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah. Buyers are afraid to negotiate. Frankly, realtors that got in during that time don't know how to negotiate. Sellers didn't have to do anything to their house. So that hangover for them is they think they don't have to do repairs. They're offended that someone would ask them for repairs if they're not properly coached.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a normal market. It was an overheated market driven by government tinkering and extraordinary circumstances. So now we fast forward to today. Mortgage rates are higher. Remote work has cooled. Many of these companies are requiring people to come back in.
Yeah.
And affordability matters again. And as a result, the buyer demand has naturally slowed. So you think about like Dallas, Texas has slowed because people aren't flocking to Texas anymore. I mean, they are and they aren't.
They are, not but in for the different numbers. Reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're seeing something that's actually healthy and homes are taking longer to sell. Buyers have more choices. Negotiations are back and inspections are back and repairs are back. And that's what a balanced market looks like. So some folks hear that and assume that prices will be crashing.
Yeah.
No, that's not what's happening.
I do hear there's some, influencers that are trying to peddle sit tight. It's all going to crash.
You do know that they were saying that like in 2020, 2021.
Yep.
This can't go on forever. Prices are going to crash. Well, they have not crashed. What has crashed is the number, quote, crashed, is mm-hmm. the number of sales. We're down about 35% over what we were in the peak of the market. But the peak of the market was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So some people hear these circumstances and assume that prices must be crashing. What we're seeing is a market that's normalizing after an extraordinary run-up. So it's like the pendulum that got swung too far to the left. It comes back to the right, but as it keeps swinging, it starts to lose its momentum until it comes back to center. Mm-hmm. And here's another important point. Wages are finally beginning to catch up. Remember, I told you in the other segment, mm-hmm. we have been relatively flat for pricing. We're midway through our fourth year of this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, for many people, wages have been rising, which means they're getting in a better position. Nationally, incomes are now growing faster than home prices. That's good news. And that's exactly what needed to happen. And here in the Mid-Willamette Valley, we've actually seen home prices remain flat
mm-hmm.
for the past 3.5 years. And while incomes have continued to rise during that same period, affordability has slowly been improving without the dramatic price declines that many people expected. So for example, our top three employment industries in the Mid-Willamette Valley
mm-hmm.
are the state or government.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. The hospital, Salem Hospital, which is mm-hmm. expanding.
Yeah.
And then hospitality, which is kind of interesting.
Hmm.
So, right. But if you take at least the top two classes, they get consistent raises. So,
they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you look at a 3% raise over the last 4 years, that's a 12% increase in your salary. Well, home prices have only gone up about 1%. So you're gaining about 2% each year. So wages is a healthier way for the market to rebalance because
mm-hmm.
we just don't have a lot of opportunity for new construction, not a lot here in the Valley. The reality is our local market's been more stable than many parts of the country because we still have a housing shortage. We simply don't have enough homes to meet the long-term demand. Some things are changing that, but buyers have a little more negotiating power today than they did in 2021. But we're not seeing the kind of widespread collapse that people predicted or are predicting.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a return to a more normal housing market. And for buyers, that's good news because you have more time and more choices and more negotiating power. For sellers, it means pricing your home correctly matters again. Start doing your repairs. The days of putting a sign in the yard and expecting 10 offers over the weekend are behind us.
Yeah.
So for everybody listening, it's worth remembering that the housing market wasn't driven to these prices because of greedy builders, realtors, or sellers. It was a result of a once-in-a-generation collision of historically low interest rates, massive demand, remote work, and a housing supply that simply couldn't expand fast enough. I mean, you think about all those things that came together all at once.
I know, the perfect storm, really.
Yeah. And then throw
and
in government.
And perfect, not in a good way.
Right, and throw in the government subsidies. Today, the market's doing exactly what it's supposed to do, and it's finding its balance again. And in the long run, that's good for buyers, sellers, and the overall health of the housing market. So the best piece of advice I could give people right now is that you need to find an agent who has navigated a normal market. That means they have a resume that's longer than 10 years. Mm-hmm. And have them assist you and you know, advise you about how to get into this market, how to be part of this market. And if you're a seller, same advice. You need somebody who's been through a normal, this is my fourth market adjustment.
Yeah.
You need somebody who understands how buyers behave in this kind of climate so that you know what you need to do to get your house sold. And it's kind of time to put ego away.
Well, I would think so. And then, you know, you were talking about how housing during the pandemic, and we're not going to get into that, but an increase of 43% in value. So everything that's happening now as we're normalizing is stacked on top of that 43% increase.
Yeah, we borrowed from the future.
Yeah. And I feel for, you know, millennials, Gen Zs really trying to get out there, getting, you know, they're newer in the job market. They don't have the salary history built up. They don't necessarily have the savings. So, you know, and I don't want to poo-poo that because that's very, very real. It's not the same market that you or I came into or even Hunter came into. It's very different.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to talk about next is, you know, when I find myself in, you know, we were in one kind of market in 2020.
Yeah.
And we behaved one kind of way in 2020 mm-hmm. in our negotiations. Well, when the market changed, you know, the old book, Who Moved My Cheese?
Yeah.
Then you got to figure out how to run the maze differently.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah. I know.
It's
a dystopian vision.
I'm
we're all just in a maze looking for our cheese. Where's my cheese?
you can't keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
You know what that is?
That's the definition of crazy.
Yes.
I know. So there you go.
Real quick, before we take a break, Samantha, are you seeing a lot more of the, you know, that demographic that I'm talking about, sort of, you know, the, I don't know, younger millennials, this newer generation that are coming in really having some financial struggles, trying to make it all work?
Yeah, I work with a lot of people in that generation. And I think a lot of people don't realize the average age for a first-time home buyer is about something like 40 years old.
Nice.
So, you know, if you're in your 20s, 30s, and you feel like you're behind, you're not necessarily quote-unquote behind on getting into a house. And I'm finding that a lot of motivated millennials with good jobs, like, you know, you were discussing the increase in wages.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the income. Rent is the same price as a mortgage in a lot of areas.
I know. Crazy.
So they're already budgeting for that. And if they've been planning on this for years, which a lot of them have, especially because 2020, you have buyers coming back into the market now. Mm-hmm. That were beat out so many times in that competitive. So those people are coming back, and the advantage and why we on our team, we always recommend speak with a loan officer, go through kind of the pre-approval process ahead of time, at least 6 months before you think you want to buy. So if there's anything we need to do to, mm-hmm. prepare you, then you have that time. And but some people are finding they are closer than they thought because of the down payment assistance option. Yeah. And if you can, so if you can negotiate with the seller to pay the closing costs, then they're really just, you know, getting in for earnest money plus appraisal money. It's a couple thousand dollars at the closing table.
Which for most people I think would be doable. So that's good to know. So don't be afraid to find out and get into the process and see see what's up. Okay, we're going to take our last break. We're talking Real Estate Insights with Amy McLeod and with Samantha Reddick Smith, and you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty, we're wrapping up our conversation today on Real Estate Insights. And so kind of we were talking about younger buyers trying to get in, how kind of the deck is, it's not necessarily stacked, it's just a different deck. And I know when we were in the break, we were talking about how old we were when we bought our first houses. And a lot has changed since then. It's very different and it is all relative. But for a lot of people thinking that it's out of reach, you're saying it's not. It's just different.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I hear almost every week is, you know, Amy, I'd love to buy a house, but I just can't afford it. And honestly, I get how that would be your first thought. Mm-hmm. It was mine when I was looking at our first house. But housing isn't cheap. Interest rates aren't where they were a few years ago, and the headlines make it sound like, you know, the sky is falling and buying a home is impossible. But today I want to challenge that thinking, seriously. Mm-hmm. Not because buying a home is easy, but because it may be more possible than you think. So before anybody sends me a hostile email, yes, there are down payment assistance programs, low down payment loans, and other financing options that Samantha shared that detail with you already. But today I want to talk about something different besides the cash. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about sacrifice. And every generation that has built wealth has had to make some short-term sacrifices for long-term gains.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about my folks. My dad was a World War II veteran, went to Europe, fought in the theater there, and came home to a GI Bill that allowed them to buy a little 700-square-foot two-bedroom house.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't fancy, but it gave them their start. And there's a statistic that really puts everything into perspective, and that is that the average renter has a net worth of about $10,000, and that probably includes their cars, which are depreciating.
Okay. Yeah. But
the average homeowner, after they've been in their home 10 to 15 years, has a net worth of almost $400,000. Mm-hmm. That's net. Mm-hmm. So that's not because homeowners are smarter. It's because every mortgage payment is slowly building equity instead of paying someone else's mortgage. So right now we have slow to sluggish appreciation. That won't be the same. That won't always be like that. If you look at the real estate market over the decades, these markets run in about 7-year cycles.
Okay.
So we started the uptick in about 2016, 2017, mm-hmm. and it was over in 2023. There's a 6-7 year cycle, and now we're in the fourth year of another, a low cycle. So I would project, I've said this before, in the about the next 5 to 7 years, we're going to be in an up cycle as we boomers are leaving our houses without replacing the housing. We will see a housing surge again. So for most Americans, homeownership isn't just where they live. It's the greatest wealth building tool they'll ever own. So for our generation to be telling this younger generation it's impossible, shame on us. And we need to stop it.
Are there voices out there discouraging people? Wow.
Well, I mean, every day it's, you know, oh, these interest rates. Oh, these house prices are terrible. Yeah. Or I've heard people say to me, my kids will never be able to afford a home. Well, not with you talking like that. So stop it. Here's something I've noticed after more than 35 years in real estate. Nobody accidentally becomes a homeowner. And at some point, almost every homeowner has a story that begins with, we had to.
Yeah.
So I've shared, Greg worked 3 jobs and I worked 2. Mm-hmm. And we did it until we had kids, which was 5 years into our marriage. We had to work another job. We had to skip vacations. We had to live with family. We had to eat beans and rice. We had to buy a smaller home. The common denominator isn't luck, It's sacrifice.
Yeah.
So maybe the question isn't, can I afford to buy? Maybe it's, what am I willing to do for the next year or two or five to change my financial future? And, you know, I think I was just reading this morning that I know I've heard some folks, younger folks say, well, there's all this common conversation about this great transfer of wealth from the boomers to the millennials and the Gen Zers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this article said after the boomers use their accumulated wealth for health and living, and after it gets taxed and passed on, they were projecting that only about 15% of that amount of money would pass on. And that actually for those who are already, by that time, will already, like the millennials now are in their 40s.
Sure. Right.
They will already, it will just be an addition to whatever they have already accumulated. So please don't be banking on your parents
croaking. That you're going to get a big windfall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for some of these ideas, they're going to sound a little crazy, I know. But remember, temporary sacrifice can create permanent opportunity. Let's start with something called house hacking. And it sounds something like your teenager does on a computer. It's actually buying a home with an extra bedroom and renting that room to someone else, or buying a duplex, living in on one side and renting the other. In Elizabeth and Samantha's office, you can use the rent as to offset the payment.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be glamorous, but it's a lot easier to build wealth when someone else is helping pay your mortgage without having to go all in on being a landlord. Now, here's another idea. We have a garage sale. Walk through your house and ask yourself, when was the last time I used this? Or maybe it's time for a side hustle. Uber, deliver groceries, walk dogs, pick up a seasonal job, work an extra Saturday. Nobody says it has to be forever. Here's another thought. Maybe your first home isn't in your dream neighborhood. Maybe it's 20 minutes away. Maybe it's in a smaller town. For some, maybe it's even moving to a part of the country where housing is simply more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Your first house isn't your forever home. It's just your first house. Maybe you live with family a little longer, get a roommate. These aren't permanent decisions. They're stepping stones. And too many people think if they can't buy their first home first, buy their dream home first, they shouldn't buy it at all. And that's not how wealth is built. So homeowners started with a modest first home, built equity, and then moved up over time. The first home wasn't the destination. It's your launching pad.
Yeah, and that's a paradigm shift for a lot, because you talk about that sort of the instant gratification that we've got here, the YOLO,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's just live for the moment and not really think about the future. So I think those are all really important important things for folks to look at. And to not, yeah, I'm glad you laid all that out, because I do think we need a little bit of a paradigm shift and a reset on that, especially yep. for the younger generations coming in. We are just about out of time. Again, we've been talking real estate insights with Amy McLeod, the McLeod Group, Keller Williams, and Samantha Reddick-Smith from the Success Mortgage Team. Ladies, very good information. Hunter, we got how many just for their shout out, for their details?
We got time for it.
How do people reach you?
Yeah, if you want to get a hold of us, 971-208-5093 or Amy McLeod, MCLEOD.net. Samantha?
Yes, SamanthaReddickSmith.com. So Samantha, spelled normal, R-E-D-D-I-C-K, Smith.com. Or just text or call my number at 503-931-7774.
All right, ladies, thank you so much. Good information as always. That's it for us today. Tomorrow we're going to visit with Salem Mayor Julie, who I see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.